Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. Today, we're going to be talking about a new strip. It's sort of slice of life, really fun, lighthearted, make a great bedtime story, something you can share with your kids. It's called Catloaf Adventures. And I had no idea what to expect when I heard that name and went and took a look. And then immediately, right from the first episode, you totally realize what's going on, and it's great. So I have the creator, Cute Pastry, joining me. Thanks for taking the time.
Hi! I'm Cute Pastry. Nice to meet everyone.
Yeah, I really want to dive into the story and talk about some of your inspirations and how the fan reaction has been. But before we get into that, I always like to ask everybody when they come on for the first time, sort of about how their journey that eventually led them to create a strip on Webtoons, kind of what that journey was like. So did you read comics when you were growing up? Was sequential stories and comics and that kind of thing a part of your childhood?
So, yes. I was very involved in making comics growing up. I drew a lot of Pokemon in high school mostly. I actually stopped in college because I was pursuing animation for my major, and after college, I got depressed because it wasn't working out and I wasn't getting hired and everything, and then I just started drawing Catloaf for fun. I was drawing cats because I really like cats, and then as I kept drawing the comics, like, one day Webtoon was like, "Hey, wanna come be on Featured?" And I'm like, "Yes!" And I guess it just comes full circle, because I did draw comics growing up, and now I'm doing it again.
Yeah, so it sounds like you always had a love for comics, especially, you know, creating them on your own, you know, in high school and such, where you're certainly not getting paid for them at that point. But then you decided to go to school for animation. And was that more you thinking that it's not really necessarily that easy to make a living at comics, so let me do something that's a little more commercial? Was that sort of your thought process?
I think I was trying to find a actual, like, corporate job, you know, because that's usually what parents want your kids to have, like, you know, the nice, secure, like, work in the office, that kind of thing. So I was like, okay, well, this is art. And at that time, I was really interested in movies and games, and was like, okay, well, if I just wanted, like, something that I could, you know, sit at best, you know, please my parents, etc. And that was my mindset. But I enjoy comics way more. And I guess it took me a while to realize that. I still love animation. Like, I think what I learned in college is really beneficial. A lot of the things overlap too. So, I don't regret anything.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it's all storytelling. Yeah. One of my favorite.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my favorite artists that I liked when I was young and in kind of the mid 80s was an artist on Justice League named Chuck Patton. He made that transition, and he's done some really, he's been, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Transformers and some really, like, big name stuff. But, you know, the love of comics is still there, but it just goes to show that, you know, if you know how to tell a story visually, there is a lot of overlap there. So well, let's talk specifically about Catloaf Adventures before we kind of figure out how it all got started. Why don't you let our listeners know, who may not be familiar with the strip, what is Catloaf Adventures about?
So Catloaf Adventures is, the main character is basically a cat, except it's a loaf of bread that happens to look like a cat at the same time. And this cat bread, or bread cat, Catloaf, they have a very cheery personality. And the gist of the entire series is that they take their friends and go on tons of adventures. and they explore things, and it's a wacky fun time.
Yeah, just even as you're describing it, you know, I've read the strip, really enjoyed it. You're describing it as a, mm-hmm. you know, here's a cat that goes on adventures and it's shaped like a loaf of bread. It just makes you smile. Like, you would do that.
Yeah.
And obviously this mm-hmm. is a, you know, an audio format. And so you won't really get it until you go and check it out. Mm-hmm. Go and check out, you know, pause the podcast right now and go to the website or pull it up on your phone and just search for Cat Loaf Adventures and look at it, and you'll immediately get it. And it's just so fun because I think Cute Pastry hit it right on the head, right? Cat Loaf is
an
unending optimist, right? And in this time of, you know, internet trolls and everybody so quick to get mad and people at each other's throats, whatever, it's fun to have a strip like this, a story like this, that is just, it brings a smile to your face. It's just, it's lighthearted, it's fun, it's happy, the art is awesome. And you wouldn't necessarily think that a cat that's shaped like a loaf of bread could emote or move around and go on adventures, but you would be surprised. Cute Pastry does an incredible job with the images. So let's talk a little bit about where the idea came from. You mentioned you were just kind of doodling around drawing cats, and then it kind of morphed into a loaf of bread. Is that how it went down?
Yeah, that's actually pretty much how it went down. I just wanted a friend was telling me, you know, you love cats, why don't you draw cats? So I did. I looked at, you know, cat videos all day. And originally the plan was to, like, oh, maybe we could open like an Etsy shop or something and, you know, do some cat stuff. That was the plan in mind. And I was like, okay, so what kind of fun cat things can I do? And I was like, okay, I like cats. I also like bread, and cats are like bread. Okay, so let's try it. And then after I drew like my first drafts or something, it's like, I couldn't make a story out of this. And then I did, like, this was the very first comic on Webtoon Discover before I got featured. It was like a 4-coma. I was like, okay, I'll just make a really short 4-coma. And then it kind of exploded. Like, wait, this cat can go on adventures. And it just blew up.
Based on the visuals that you came up with, you know, from the start, was that what kind of informed you with deciding to make it a really, you know, fun, lighthearted strip that really kind of focuses on positivity?
Yeah. I think what you see, the featured version currently published, it's changed a lot from the Discover. But we definitely wanted to keep the whimsical and the life lessons that kind of sort of just decided to trickle in somehow. Cause there's a lot of life lessons that I tried to incorporate, and they just happen to trickle in for some reason. It just happens. Like, I can't stop it. So,
yeah, well, I think, I mean, this isn't, you know, saccharine sweet or anything like that. It's a fun, mm-hmm. it's a fun strip, and it's never preachy, but yeah, there are, I mean, it seems to just come out organically in the story, right? I mean, you can learn so much just by kind of being a happy person and being a good friend, the way Cat Loaf is and things like that. So there are lessons to be learned. And again, I think it gets into sort of the target audience, which we'll talk about in a little bit, and the way you can share it with younger readers. But before we get into that, can you give us a rundown on the main characters in the strip?
Yeah. So the trio, the main trio in the very beginning. So first there's Cat Loaf, super energetic. It's basically, if you first meet me, it's basically my personality from the get-go. And the polar opposite is Ryloaf. I would describe Ryloaf as apathetic, and they have this meh attitude. Like, they don't care about anything that's going on around there. And that dynamic between Caliph and Ryloaf, is really fun to play with. Cause they are friends. But, I think Ryloaf, So basically, the Carlos and Riley dynamic would be based off of me and other friends that I would hang out with, actually. Like, I'm really hyper, and I would have friends that are, like, really chill or mellow, and they would, that dynamic would be really fun. And then finally, the third character of the trio, we call him Tabs, which is short for Tabby Loaf. I'm just going to describe it as a really small, soft, and friendly bun. And the main feature of this loaf is that it's wrapped around in a blue blanket to show that I'm really soft and I'm squishy and please don't hurt me. And then the three of them of that dynamic together. It's really fun.
Yeah, I think my favorite is Ryloaf. I mean, obviously everybody loves Catloaf because Catloaf is just, you know, that sunny friend that, you know, who's always looking on the bright side. But at times that can be annoying. But Ryloaf, he always sort of tells it like it is, at least the way, you know, he sees it, which is not always the way it actually is, because he almost, like Cute Pastry said, it's sort of the polar opposite. He's always looking at the glass as half empty. But the thing that I love about Ryloaf is he sets up the humor so well. Like, the dynamic you've created between the two really works. So I think, you know, Ryloaf is so important to the story because he sets up so much of the humor. So did you realize that, like, early on when you created him as a character, that it would be that dynamic and that would help bring so much of the humor to the strip?
I did. Originally, Ryloaf wasn't Ryloaf was not going to be a character at all. I was going to, like, introduce other bread, like donuts later, or, like, other things. I was like, no, this is... And I realized this is too much of a leap to go from bread to suddenly, like, donuts and other weird things. I was like, okay, let's stick it to breads. Let's stick it to the breads. Okay, let's have other breads for now, just breads. And then I realized that, well, my dynamic with my friends... It's like, I'll be like, wah! I'm all crazy and jumping everywhere. And then my friend next to me will be like, oh my gosh, just
calm down.
Like, stop.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's... Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead.
So I did draw from real life experience for Ryloaf for that.
Yeah, was it always your... well, let me ask you this. Do you feel like you have a target audience? Is there some... people
I do have target audience, but because my content is very family friendly, I feel like I've gotten a whole range of readers who would comment. Like, some people would mention, like, their kids, and my target audience would be I feel like tweens or kids, but I've noticed in comments who was like, oh, my kid really likes your comic. It's like, oh, my comic has reached, you know, audience, like, older audience as well. So I think because I'm family-friendly content, that it has a huge range.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a crossover. Did you think about that when you were creating it, that it really was going to be all ages, or just something that happened organically?
I think that just happened organically because I started... like, incorporating more life lessons and morals and, like, a full-on storytelling with arcs.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, I think it's something I just keep going back to as I was reading it. Like, if you want to encourage your kids to read or you want to share, you know, a story with them, bedtime story, Catloaf, perfect. A perfect bedtime story for your kids, and just go and check it out, and you'll see what I mean. But I want to talk a little bit specifically about the Webtoon platform itself, Cute Pastry, and how you came to be on Webtoon, and some of the challenges that you experienced, and maybe some advice for aspiring creators out there. But before we do that, why don't you take us through kind of your process for creating a strip? What is the typical procedure you go through when getting ready to put up a new episode?
So if we know beforehand, like, it's an arc that we've been wanting to do, we usually plan it out as we could, like what we want the arc to showcase, etc. And then as for the episodes itself, we would start with, you know, scripting, boarding, and then after all of that planning, you put in the characters and backgrounds. And then after that, you do your, well, for me, I would do the dialogue, and then I would slice the pages before I send them over. And then, the pages get put up as a whole long format for everyone else to read.
Yeah. Now, is that a challenge for you, or was it a challenge for you, that vertical scroll? Because it's something that's very
unique
to Webtoon.
I actually love the vertical scroll. I love how I can just, like, it's very easy to follow. It's like, you can, there's people, I feel like people like vertical scroll because you can put it on your phone and you can just scroll for ages, and it's just, wow, you just keep going. Like, your eye is just naturally following. I really like the vertical scroll in the sense that like, you're on your phone, you keep scrolling, and your eye just naturally follows the direction of the page as it flows back up, and I really like that as well. I know people like books as well, but books, I feel like books is a different learning curve in terms of showcasing a story and like where my eyes should go next, etc. I know it's left to right, but there's still like up and downs and stuff. So I really like how it's just one direction for the vertical scroll.
Yeah, and I think it's for any aspiring creators out there, if you haven't ever worked traditionally, you know, in print where it's, you know, the grid on the page, and there are certain challenges that are endemic to that, right? Like, I've talked to artists. We've had creators on this very podcast for Webtoon Wednesday that have worked in the traditional. They've talked about, you always have to have a little bit of a something in that last panel that entices them to turn the page, right? I mean, it's not a full on cliffhanger, but it's something similar. And so you've got that added challenge. Plus, no matter what where your eye goes on the page, even if you turn the page and your eye immediately goes to the upper left corner and you start, you know, navigating down the page with your eye, you still, once you turn that page, you get a sense of the overall picture of what is on those two pages. So it's harder to surprise somebody. Whereas the vertical scroll, it's completely off the screen. It's completely out of your line of sight until you scroll up and it hits you. So it gives you the chance to be more impactful with surprises and images that can really convey emotion, because it all happens at the same. You're seeing it for the first time right when you're getting to the point where you're reading the story, that part of the story or what have you. So let's transition and talk about the platform itself. Has the reaction from the fan community been overall positive for Catloaf Adventures?
I think so. Because I'm such a weird, whimsical comic that's a little out there. People aren't sure what to expect, but all of that is like, oh my god, the characters are so cute, and it's so fun. So that's usually the reaction I would get.
And have there been any fan interactions that have stood out in your mind? Anybody who just like, oh my god, this just totally speaks to me?
There has been plenty of those. I would get tons of, I've gotten like emails of fan art, and I reply to everyone, or at least I try to reply to everyone. And some people will coming up to me and be like, I read your comic when I'm depressed, and like it cheers me up every day. And every time I hear stuff like that, it just encourages me to keep going.
Yeah, that's got to be gratifying to know that you're positively, you know, affecting people. You're turning their bad day into something positive. kind of like Catloaf himself would do.
Yeah.
Do you hear from younger readers? You know, we mentioned it would make such a great bedtime story, something to share with younger readers. So, you know, we talked about also that it kind of transcends age brackets. You know, it's really for all ages. So do you hear from younger readers that they really enjoy it as well?
I do. Depending on like how young they are, like for example, if they're like 10, it would be really short, like, wow, it's so awesome, here I do fan art. And then if you go a little older, like teens and stuff, then we would talk more about like art or like other things or like which is your favorite character. And I hear a lot from the readers, and it's really nice to hear from everyone that they're supporting what I'm doing.
Yeah, what about the creative community on Webtoon? Have you heard from them as well that they really enjoy? Because I know it's a pretty good community, just the way everybody kind of pulls for everybody else to be successful.
It's a pretty good community. I personally feel like I should reach out as well because everyone works on their own thing. But I see interactions like on social media and everything. And I feel like I should put myself out there more because I personally haven't met any of them, but I would really like to meet them.
Yeah, we've had some of the creators from Webtoon come on the show who have had a chance to attend mm-hmm. a convention with Webtoon and get a chance to meet other creators in person and swap stories and everything. And yeah, to a man, everybody has said it's a positive experience. So if you get the chance, I definitely would encourage you to do that.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and when you get the chance to do that, to meet the other creators, I've also heard it really sort of energizes you and, you know, kind of recharges your batteries, and you can't wait to get back on the strip and put out more episodes and improve, right? Everybody's, while they're supportive mm-hmm. of each other, you kind of challenge each other too. Like you see what other people are doing and see how great it is, and it kind of spurs you to grow as a creator as well.
Mm-hmm.
As we wrap up here, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know the Webtoon deadline is always looming. You know, we mentioned some of the challenges that you may have as a creator getting started on Webtoon. If there's one thing that you wish you knew beforehand when you were starting out that you could maybe pass along to somebody else so they could kind of be prepared for that particular challenge, what would it be?
I don't know if it's something I wish beforehand, but definitely love what you do, because if there's no love and passion for what you're doing, it's not going to go very far. But if you love what you're doing, it's going to show, and that's what people will gravitate towards, is that you put your work in and your passion, and they'll come in and come by and be like, oh my gosh, I want to read your stuff. So definitely lots of love, just spread it and put in your art, and you can do it. I believe.
Yeah, that's a good point. And something we've talked about on the podcast in the past. Yeah. When you love it, cause you know, I've said this a million times, nobody gets into, becoming a comic creator cause they're like, oh, I want to be rich. I want to be filthy rich and not have to worry about money. I know I'll become a comic creator. Not going to happen. The people that create comics, it's because they love to tell stories. They love the medium. They love, you know, they're artistic by nature. They love creating graphic art. And so that passion comes through in the story. And I think, Cute Pacey, your passion, and your positivity, comes through in Catloaf Adventures. I mean, it's a breath of fresh air, cause it's just so fun. And I can completely, understand some of those, readers saying, I was having a terrible day till, you know, I read the latest, Catloaf Adventure strip and it really turned it around. So good advice. tell a story that you're passionate about. And if you do that and you're having fun doing it, it comes through in the story, because I can tell QPastry that you're having a blast doing this. So best of luck with Catloaf Adventures. Thanks for joining me. And as we wrap up here, is there anything else that you want to share? Tell your fans and subscribers. The floor is yours.
Everyone is awesome. And you can follow me on social media, QPastry, KYUTE Pastry, on Insta, Twitter, Webtoons, all that good stuff. And stay fresh. Yes, just like bread.
Definitely.
You're awesome. Fresh
like bread. And I'll put links to QPastry's social media in the show notes, everybody. So you can go click there, give her a follow, tell her how much you love the strip, and find out when she has other projects and other things coming out. So
I had an amazing time.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, best of luck with Catloaf Adventures.
Thank you.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.